We're continuing on our series titled Handle with Care. We're in a series in the book of James. The book of James is a very practical book. It's all about actual practical everyday living with God. And when you live right for God, there's a blessing upon your life. It's almost like you're taking care of yourself by choosing to live the way God guides you and instructs you to live. It's just so good for your own soul, and then God gets the glory from your life. How many want a good soul and God to get the glory? How many would say amen? Well, that's what the book of James is all about. And today, we're going to be talking about that which makes Christianity, makes your life and mine a real adventure. What I'm going to mention to you in a moment will give you a joy on a daily basis. Like when this thing is going on in your life, man, it just makes you happy. And I think the last way I would put it is, what we're going to talk about today is that which keeps your days connected to the kingdom. Okay? Our days are supposed to be connected to the kingdom, not just when we come to church on Sunday. You see, if you're younger in the Lord, maybe you haven't learned the Lord's Prayer, but a lot of people know the Lord's Prayer. Our Father who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. And then what do we pray? We say, let your kingdom come, let your will be done on earth as it is in heaven. How many know that prayer? Can I see your hands? Right? Can I tell you something? You need to pray that prayer. You need to pray, let your kingdom come, let your will be done on earth as it is in heaven. But when you pray that prayer, part of what you're praying is, God, keep me connected to your kingdom so that your kingdom will come through me. Your will be done through me, God. I want it to be part of my life. I want to be part of what you're doing. Anybody here want to be part of what God is doing? That's what real Christianity is all about. Let your kingdom come. Let your will be done. You got to pray that, right? And the way that manifests is that your day, okay, not one day, but your days all throughout the week should be connected to the kingdom of God. So what is it that keeps my day and your day connected to the kingdom of God? Right? How do we do this? How do we see that happen? You ready? It's one word. Faith. Amen. Everybody say faith.
Faith.
But it's a special kind of faith. Okay? It's a very important type of faith. And that's what James is talking about today. He's talking about faith that really connects us to the kingdom of God. And when that happens, I'm telling you right now, you'll be happy, you'll be joyful, you'll be excited. It's so incredible how on the most ordinary moments we can be connected to the kingdom of God. This past week, before I read the text to you, we had an exterminator over the house. So the guy comes over, and my wife, who, she's not here, she's in Philly, so I'm going to tell you something. She can be a little crazy. So my wife starts to, like, interview the exterminator. And she's asking him, like, the worst things that he encounters as an exterminator. Like rodents and all the things that make my stomach like, you know? So she's asking him, and he starts to tell stories of encountering rats and all this kind of stuff. And I'm like, what? Like, what is she doing? So at a certain point, I moved into the kitchen. And at a certain point, she says, you know what? you're facing some tough stuff on a daily basis. You got to come to our prayer meeting. We got to pray for you. I was like, there it is. You know she's going to find a way to go there, right? Right? Crazy, but she was going to get there. So anyway, then he went outside, and they were talking outside, and when she came back, Shelly, my assistant, was there too. They both were outside. So funny. I don't know who should have been out there talking to him about whatever, exterminating stuff. But I didn't want to go out there. So anyway, they come back in, and they say, you know what? He opened up. And he said, it's so funny we're talking because I just prayed, God, if you'll do this for me, I'm going to serve you. He said, I don't know how to serve him or whatever, and I just prayed that, and now you guys are talking to me. Yeah, I'm going to go to your church. What's the address? This and that. How many know God will set your life on fire if you will connect it to the kingdom? And let me, after that, you get excited. It makes your days happy. It makes your days like an adventure. You're like, man, let's see what God is going to do. But you know what it takes? It takes real, everyone, faith. That's what James is all about. And before I read this to you, I want to say one thing. So when I was preparing this message, even today as I was about to walk in, I kept praying something, okay? Because there's like a upside, a happy side to this message, but then there's a very sobering side. There's a very intense side to this message. I just want to prepare you in advance. And you need to know how to hear as a Christian. I hope you hear the word correctly. So look, there's a big difference between conviction and condemnation. So conviction is when the Spirit of God ministers to you and you feel in your heart, cut to the quick, like, oh, sometimes it's like, I have sin in my life. Sometimes it's like I need to make a change. Sometimes it's like a deep challenge, you know, to respond to God. The conviction is when the Holy Spirit bears down on you and he's not criticizing you. He's not putting you down, but he's kind of saying you're not right. You got to get right. Now, condemnation is saying you're no good. God doesn't like you. Run away and all that. And so a lot of times people hear, because of our culture, people hear condemnation when they should be hearing conviction. But we, as the children of God, we have mature ears. Somebody say amen. You understand? We have mature ears. We can tell that everything that is in God's word is based on his love. And even when it challenges us, it's good for us. Come on, somebody say amen. How many know the word of God is always good for us? And so consequently, when you come to the sobering side of this, you're like, this is still good. This is real good. So watch this. It says, James chapter 2, starting with verse 14, says, what good is it, my brothers and sisters, if someone claims to have faith but has no deeds? Can such a faith save them? Suppose a brother or sister is without clothes or daily food. If one of you says to them, go in peace, keep warm and well fed, but does nothing about their physical needs, what good is it? In the same way, faith by itself, if it is not accompanied by, everyone, action, this is a certain type of faith. If it's not accompanied by action, it is, everyone, dead. So you can have a living faith or you could have a dead faith. If you're watching online, yes, you can have a dead faith, can still acknowledge God. You'll see that in a moment. But it's not a living faith. We're shooting for a living faith. We want to live by faith. The righteous will live by faith. And it's not a dead faith. It's a living faith. I'm going to say amen. It says, but someone will say, you have faith, I have deeds. Show me your faith without deeds, and I'll show you my faith by my deeds. You believe that there is one God? Good. You know, you rarely see an exclamation point in the Bible, right? It says, you believe that there's one God, good. Even the demons believe and shudder. So the devil believes in Jesus. So this is where this gets sobering, right? This is where this becomes challenging, even if you're watching online right now. This is the love of God really, really trying to target a very, very, very important part of your life, your faith. Faith is what's most important. And he says, look, just because you might say, oh, I love the Lord. Yeah, I've known the Lord. I know Bible verses since I was 7 years old. Yeah, I can quote more Bible verses. How many know that's good, but it's good to a point. If it's not backed by actions, if it's not backed by a real life, it's actually dead faith. And he goes, well, the devil hears the name of Jesus, and the devil trembles. The presence of Jesus will make the demon shudder, but there's still the devil. So he's saying, time out. Let's pay attention. And then, and I'm going to tell you, when I read this week, this is why I even had to set this up. There's a difference between conviction and condemnation. Because listen to what James says. He says, you foolish person. Like, imagine James saying to me, when I read the Bible, I try to read it as if it was speaking directly to me. So imagine James saying to me, you foolish person. Like, I don't want to hear that. Imagine James saying to you, you foolish person. Right? How many know that's not a conversation we want to have? But look, he says, you foolish person, do you want evidence that faith without deeds is useless? Was not our father Abraham considered righteous for what he did when he offered his son Isaac on the altar? You see that his faith and his actions were working together, and his faith was made complete by what he, everyone, did. And the scripture was fulfilled that says, Abraham believed God, and it was credited to him as righteousness, and he was called God's friend. A living faith makes God your friend. How many know God should be your best friend? How many want Jesus to be the best friend? Hallelujah. He's the friend that sticks closer than a brother. We please that friend when we live by faith. You see, that a person is considered righteous by what they do and not by faith alone. And then it says, in the same way, was not even Rahab the prostitute considered righteous for what she did when she gave lodging to the spies and sent them off in a different direction? As the body without the spirit is everyone dead. So let's read this together. Last sentence. Ready? So faith without deeds is dead. So the title of the message today is Handling Your Faith. How are you handling your faith? Are you really living by faith? But is it a living faith? God wants to give you and I a living faith. Somebody say amen. Not a faith that is without works or without action or without deeds. Not the kind of faith that says we can just talk about stuff. We're talking about a living faith that makes all of the difference, that actually keeps our days connected to the kingdom of God. Amen. So I want to pray that God would help all of us, even those who are watching online, that he would help us to live by faith. And even though I've been serving the Lord for 40 years, can I tell you something? God's not impressed by yesterday's resume. You know, I got to live by faith this week. That's what pleases God. Faith is what pleases God. And I want to pray. I'm praying for you, and I want to pray with you. Okay? And I want to encourage you up front. You know, only what we do for Christ will last. Amen. And so we want to live by faith for the glory of God. How many would say amen? Amen. Come on, let's lift our hands. Father, we thank you for this word. God, I thank you for my brothers and sisters here. God, for our brothers and sisters online. And Lord, I pray that you would move us all to higher levels of a living faith, a faith that pleases you, a faith that keeps us connected to your kingdom. And so, Lord, today we say, Lord, let your kingdom come. Let your will be done on earth as it is in heaven. And Lord, we want to be part of that. We want to be part of your kingdom, oh God, moving forward. Use us, use our lives. Lord, the places where we go, the places where we work, Lord, use us to live by faith so that you'll get all the glory and all the honor. So bless this word and bless our hearts. In the mighty name of Jesus, and all God's people said, amen, 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 and amen. So if you want to have a happy life, you know, you really want to have a great walk with Jesus, you have to put your faith into practice. Now, here's what this definition actually means. It means a deep personal trust, not just believing that God exists, but living like his word is true and reliable. Okay? It's a relational loyalty to God that shows up in our actions. In other words, like D.L. Moody said, he said, every Bible should be bound in shoe leather. People should see the Bible in your walk, not just your talk. Come on, somebody say amen. Right, right. It's in our walk. It's not in our talk. Yes, it's part of our talk, but it's more in our walk. It's like that people could really see a manifestation of it. And when you think about this definition, here's what it means. It means that you give your life to the Lord, right? And you're like, man, I can't believe how good God is to me. I can't believe that I'm saved. Anybody here happy that you're saved, right? And have you ever thought, man, where would I be if it wasn't for the Lord? Like some of us wouldn't even be alive. Anybody here has been absolutely rescued by Jesus? What about the calamity? What about the chaos that we were delivered from because God said, make a left instead of make a right? Aren't you grateful for the day you took that left when that right would have been a total disaster? And it was nothing, nothing, nothing but the goodness of God. And so because you're mindful of the goodness of God, you're mindful of the mercy of God, you're mindful of the kindness of God, what happens is you live off of that and you walk by faith. There's real deeds and actions to your faith because you can say, how else could I live except by showing how good God is to me? Well, what else am I going to do? I have no choice but to live for the glory of God. You know, there were many, many years ago when I first started serving the Lord, Christy and I were still dating at the time, and I heard Tim Keller quote Ray Kroc, the founder of McDonald's. And it actually was, I think, in an article in the New York Times. And Ray Kroc said, he said, I believe in God, family, and McDonald's hamburgers. And when I get to work, I reverse the order. Okay? So here's what he said. He said, when I get to work, now McDonald's hamburgers take first place over God. When I get to work, there's a shift. I compartmentalize my life with God. So when I get to work, like it's not about people knowing that I know the Lord. It's about making money. It's about the price of my shares. And on and on and on it goes. And if you go and look at his whole life story, I want you to know it's pretty sketchy. Okay, unnecessarily so, but it's a pretty sketchy life. Now, it just turns out that right around that same time, Chrissy was working in Rhode Island, and I used to drive from New York to to visit her. I used to have to drive 3 hours to go see her. And so inevitably on the turnpike, I would stop on one of those rest stops. And you know what? When you walk into one of those rest stops, you know what's there, right? McDonald's. Right? So I remember this happening all like right around the same season. I have this thing like, oh snap, I can't believe that, but it's true. Some of us, there are a lot of people who do that. They can worship God on Sunday, but on Monday, all of a sudden, God takes third place. Nobody here, but you know, I'm just saying. So then I go into McDonald's and I'm standing in line. There's a bunch of people and this McDonald's is packed. I'm standing there. And then it was like they had like like three or four people working the counter. But one of the people there, it was almost like there was a spotlight in the room on this one little lady. She was real little, like, but she was like, "Good morning, how are you? You know, you have a great day." And she was on and on and on, and it was like everybody could, like, just was looking at her, right? So finally, this guy walks up to her, a guy in a suit, right, really tall, and when he gets up there, he goes, "You know, before I order, can I ask you a question that I know everybody here wants answered?" She goes, "Sure." He goes, "What is the secret of whatever you got?" And she says, she got right up, imagine, big head like that. She got right up in his face like this. And she said, "Oh, that's simple, sir. It's my Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ." Hallelujah! Come on! How many know your faith can set McDonald's on fire? It could set the boardroom on fire, the classroom on fire, wherever you go. How many know God wants to use you if you walk by everyone? But it's a living faith. And so even in the little things, and let me tell you, I'm driving away, and I was driving away. I just watched it. Okay, I had nothing to do with it. But while I was driving away, I was so happy. I was so encouraged. I was like, "Let's go! She's awesome, man. That little lady was powerful." I was like, talking in the car, people mad to look at me like I'm crazy. I know when someone walks by faith, it just builds you up. Come on, how many be the kind of person that is building people up around you? Because there's real faith. Everybody around you, everybody will be blessed by your real faith. You have no idea how God wants to use you this week to bring the kingdom of God to some family. God is powerful. You know, yesterday we had Kids Week in Philadelphia. That's why Chrissy was there. Some of our team is there. And something happened. Chrissy called. I'm sorry to talk so much about her. I miss her. She's been gone this week. So she called me, and she kind of was weeping on the phone because some kids came, and they were really enjoying it. And then a grandfather came in, and when he saw it was a different religion than his, he actually pulled the kids out. And when they were walking out, the kids were having such a good time. And she was like broken hearted. I was like, "Hey, listen, you don't know that 14-minute period that they were in the house of God, receiving the presence of God and the love of God and the power of God. I'm telling you right now, those little kids, they're going to hear the gospel again from someone. They're going to serve the Lord. That whole generation will be transformed because somebody got them in there." So you realize how powerful it is when you bring a kid to church or when you bring a friend. You never know. One moment, one encounter with the kingdom of God. Incredible what can happen. So listen, real faith activates us. And in James, he gives us, in a sense, three examples of real faith. And I want to share them with you. And then we're going to pray. So first of all, real faith activates us to meet needs. In other words, when you've got real faith at work in your life, you're motivated to be part of the solution. You want to help that person. You want to make a difference. Real faith makes you generous. It makes you kind. Real faith says, I'm not going to stand by and watch that person go through that. I'm going to be there. How many know we're supposed to be the one who's there? Our friends should count on us. Our friends should believe that we can be on call. Call me, because if you call me, I'm going to be there to serve you. I will throw the blanket around you. I will cook the meal. I will do whatever it takes to pray for you. Real faith doesn't just say, oh, that's for somebody else. Real faith says, I'm part of the solution. You know, I had a friend. She was a children's pastor, and her husband was an associate, and so Chrissy and I were, you know, close buddies with them, and they went to a church on the West Coast. And I said, how's it going? And she said, you know, it's going good, but the culture's a little bit weird here. It's kind of wacky. And I was like, really, why? She said, you know, I was actually inviting a mom who had a couple kids in the children's ministry. I was inviting her to serve. And when I invited her to serve, you know what she said to me? She said to me, that's why we give. We give so that you could do that job. How many know that's whacked out? How many know when you have real faith, of course you give, but you not only give, you want to be part of serving. You want to be part of caring. You want to be part of loving. Uh-oh, golf clap. Can I tell you something? Everyone here, you have someone's life to touch. There are lives that God wants you to touch. He wants you to be there. He wants you to serve. He wants you to do it, carry that bag or whatever it might be. God wants to use you and me. Anybody here believe that? How many know that's living faith? Living faith is generous. Living faith is kind and giving. That's what real faith is. Real faith says, I know you're busy. We're all busy. I know you're busy, but you mean to tell me you can't serve once a month, or you can't serve once every 6 weeks, or when you hear that, you're like, hey, I'll pray for you. God be with you. And I'm going to go on and do the stuff that makes me happy. Brothers and sisters, I'm pleading with you in the name of Jesus. Jesus is coming back soon. Listen, Jesus is coming back soon. Your choices matter. Your life matters. If they could send me a keyboard player. You can make a difference in the classroom, in the office. You will be amazed. You will bump into someone, and that moment, it can be a God moment, but you gotta have a heart that says, I'm here to serve. The greatest among you will be the servant of all. Oh God, wake us up. Get us out of ourselves. God, help us to serve and be generous like you. Today is the day to say, God, speak to me, Lord, and make me a servant. Because you know what real faith does? Real faith serves. Amen. And can I tell you, I was saying this earlier, but just start with something little. Start with something little. And then watch God to really start to direct your life. It's in the little things. If you're faithful in the small, then what happens? More will be added to you. Amen. So faith, it talks about, look, if you see someone who's cold or hungry and you don't go get them the meal and you don't help them, that's not real faith. Real faith makes you generous. Real faith makes you a servant. Real faith makes you a giver. Now, here's the second example that it gives. This one is deep, deep. The second one is this. Real faith, it activates our obedience. Real faith activates us to obey. And you know, this one is so profound and so powerful because here Abraham, he waits 25 years for the son that God promised him. And then when God gives him the son, you know, Abraham does is God gives him the son. God says to Abraham, Abraham, now I want you to sacrifice the son. And the Bible says the next morning he got up, off he went to sacrifice his son. And at a certain point puts him on the altar and he goes, and then God stops him. And then there's this incredible blessing. But man, this is a very profound message. What is he teaching us from this? Very, very important message. And this goes against much of American Christianity. So you know what? You know what Abraham teaches us? He teaches us that there's only one vote. There's only one vote. Someone asked me the other day about something, you know, and I've been steeped in the book of James. You know what I said? I said, I have no vote. There's only one vote. It's God's vote. And when God votes, we do whatever God says. Okay? Faith says there's only one vote. I'm going to do whatever God says. Faith doesn't say, God, well, I want the 7-year plan. And God, it has to be convenient. It has to be comfortable. Okay? God, it has to be profitable. It has to be all of these different things. And if it's all of these different things, then, okay, I'll do it. But that's not real Christianity. Real Christianity says, God, where you lead me, I will follow. God, whatever it is, I am here to serve you and to follow you. Can I tell you something, brothers and sisters? It's not time just to enjoy life and everything to be pleasurable and everything to be comfortable and everything good. There's something more important. There's something greater. It's the call of God upon your life. You are called by the mighty God. He has a plan and a purpose for you, but you have to say yes. Look, here's the way it goes when we obey God. You see, you know why a lot of people, they don't have experienced great miracles and all of these amazing things. You know why? It's because the Bible teaches us that the greatest miracles and the greatest blessings are always on the other side of obedience. See, some people, they're like half yes, half no. Some people are like, well, if it goes this way, then I'm good. If it doesn't go this way, I'm quitting. You know? Some people are like, well, you know, God only tells me things that are comfortable. Well, let me tell you what the Bible says. The Bible says, if you're not willing to give up mother, father, sister, brother, houses, and lands for me, you're not worthy of the kingdom. But I guarantee, Jesus said this. Okay, if you're watching online, Jesus said, if you're willing to give up mother, father, sister, brother, houses, and lands, you will not fail. You will not fail to receive 100-fold in this life and in the life ever after. Hallelujah. How many want the riches of eternity in your life? Take up your cross and follow him. Take up your cross and follow him. That's in the Bible too. Not just surely goodness and mercy will follow me all the day. Of course, he's good, he's faithful, but sometimes you have to say no to yourself. No to your flesh, no to your dreams, and yes to God. And when we say, Lord, it's all yours. Here I am, Lord, send me 2,000 places in this world. Okay, I'm telling you right now, there are missionaries in this house. Who, me? Not me. Yes, you. God wants to use you. But we have to say, yes, Lord. Oh, put the spirit of yes in us. Put the pure, unadulterated, right? Unvarnished yes in our spirit. That says, whatever you want from me, God, that's what I'll do. Can I tell you something? Make your choices be one vote choices. Let God be the one that votes. And if you will follow God, I'm telling you right now, you will never have regrets, because when you follow God, the blessing, the power, the glory of God will be upon your life. You will be used for eternal purposes. People will respect you. People will be impacted by you. People will thank you on that day. When you stand on that day, people will come and say thank you for living a surrendered life. It's time to surrender, brothers and sisters. It's time to say yes, Lord. I say yes. It's time to say, God is bigger than my 401k plan. I just want to follow God. Last thing, and I won't take too long on this. Our faith, see, the last example is the example of Rahab. Rahab was a prostitute. She was part of the line of Christ. Okay, so genetically speaking, the human side of Christ came, she was part of that line. Okay? So she was a prostitute, but she heard about what God was doing, and she said, I want to be with the true God. I want to follow the true God. And so the spies came to Jericho. And she said, look, I want my family. I want to follow God. And she sided with righteousness. You see, real faith. She left her culture. She left her clan. She left all of those things. Real faith makes us side with righteousness. And she understood somehow, how many are thankful that he is rich in mercy? It doesn't matter how dirty, how dark, how disgusting our past is. How many are thankful that the blood of Jesus washes us all? That's his great, 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 great. I don't know. That's how far. But that's who she was in the line of Christ himself. But when you accept the Lord, he starts to lead you little by little to side with righteousness. So I'll close with this. So I'm at this table. There's seven guys. And I'm like, wow, these are giants. These are giants. You know, when I was 17, I was in the locker room with the Chicago White Sox. And my baseball hero was Tom Seaver. Tom Seaver was on the team at that time. And I got invited. I was there talking to Tony La Russa. And he told me, stay. The team is coming in 10 minutes. Stay and blah, blah, blah. And I'll, you can meet the guys, watch the game. And I was like, I got to go to practice, you know. And like, so what? I got Tom Seaver's autograph, you know. And yet, when I'm with these guys, right, which you don't know their names. They don't have as many Instagram followers as Kim Kardashian. Right? But these guys, I was like, man, this is where I need to be getting autographs. Like, this is the real deal. These are the guys that are going to really count when eternity comes. These are the guys who've surrendered, who sacrificed, who sided with the righteous kingdom of God. They've been arrested. They've been chased. All of these things go down. So look, the next time you get canceled by your Aunt Mabel because your faith is too strong, Just get over it. How many know we got to side with righteousness? Because you never know that the very person who's even fighting against you, they might be getting convicted. That person might become your brother or sister in Christ when you really stand for Jesus. How many believe that that's possible in 2025?